Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Welcome back to the Luck Changers podcast. They say the only sure thing about luck is that it changes, and we are here to change that for you. I am your host, Nate, formerly known as Boogs. It never really caught on. I'm just going to go by Nate now. I just made the executive decision, so just now.
Love to hear it.
And you already heard him. As join with me, as always, my co-host, Tone.
Hello.
Formerly known as Father Tone.
Hello.
Welcome back. And our moderator, AJ, formerly known as our moderator, AJ.
Good evening, boys.
We are back, and this is probably the most exciting episode of the year for us. NFL is in the air. I can smell it like a palm tree in the beach midday. Tone, are you excited?
Oh, I couldn't be more excited. As we've previously stated multiple times, number one, we're a football podcast. We love football. We love the NFL. We love college football, too, but we're super pumped to talk about the NFL and kind of get things rolling. We still have a few months away, quite a few months, but this is a nice little glimpse into our future NFL picks.
Yeah, I want to give a shout out to a few of the fans. I know a couple of the guys have told me that they're probably going to chill until football comes around. So this is for all the homies that are into following us for football. Shout out to my guy Gary, Philadelphia Eagles guy. Shout out to my guy D Say, Denver Broncos squad. Shout out to my guy J Money. Godspeed to all them Cincinnati Bengals fans. Hopefully you guys all tune in now that we're back to talking football. It's good to be back.
Yeah, I also like to shout out all those guys. They're all great dudes. We appreciate the support, and we're pretty pumped about it. I do want to make one quick shout out before we forget, because this was absolutely our bad last week. I want to shout out Monty, the Italian. He recorded a fabulous segment for us. Unfortunately, we got too busy. We didn't get a chance to upload it and, you know, put it out there for you guys. So he did hit a really good parlay. Felt really shitty that we didn't get it out to you guys. But we appreciate Monty. We really appreciate the support, and we'll get it out there next time. But that was our bad. But shout out Monty the Italian.
Monty the Italian. He will be back. You remember his name. You won't forget it. Also, shout out Gary, J Money, and D Say for all the support. I appreciate the listens. It's super cool. You guys are on for the ride, and it's easier for us knowing that we got some homies out there listening to us, and we can just kind of go with the flow and do our thing. And like we were saying, the NFL draft is among us tomorrow night from where we're recording right now on a Wednesday evening. And it is in our hometown, Cleveland, this year. Just probably one of the biggest events Cleveland's had since the parade when the Cavs won it all. What do you think?
Yeah, I would say. Yeah. I kind of forgot about that, but that is really cool. I wish I would get a chance to go up there. I'm sure it's going to be really electric. Hopefully the COVID rules are, I don't know how those are, but hopefully people are able to get in there and, you know, be safe while they do it. But I think that'll be really cool for our city.
Yeah, I think the two biggest things we've had is the parade, and I think they, wasn't Cleveland the ones who did the RNC a couple years ago?
Yeah, it was like the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was huge.
They've done a few things, but I don't know if this will be as big as the parade, but
yeah, it's probably not going to be as big as the parade. 2.6 million people, I believe. I happened to be lucky enough to be there. I had a hotel room right above where they did the speeches. LeBron said the fuck word, which was great. I mean, I listened to it.
There it is. Wow. Another
LeBron.
This not isn't yeah, a LeBron record, but it is getting very, very soon.
It wasn't me. LeBron said it.
Yep, I hear it.
So that's all I had to say. No, the NFL draft, it's a whole new feel, because last year we were pretty in some grim times, and we didn't even know if we were going to have a football season, so everything seemed like it could possibly be for naught. Mm-hmm. But this year, whole new energy, whole new feel. We know we're going to have a football season. Hopefully all this stuff is going over the water, and we'll break through stronger, fill up the stands in the NFL safely, and just do our thing. I would love for the Luck Changers to find themselves at a NFL football game this year.
That'd be nice.
That'd be awesome.
Last year's draft was virtual.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly. Yeah. Sure, so I think they're going to actually have people walk on the stage again. The commissioner said he's going to hug people. So it's going to feel like normal.
Very nice.
I think that's exactly what the world needs right now, a little taste of normal.
Yeah, we definitely need some normalcy, for sure.
For sure.
Yeah, with that being said, I'm just going to throw it over to AJ with what's on tap for the night's episode. What we got?
So we're talking draft to start, and we do have the Kentucky Derby this Saturday, so we'll kind of end the show as a little Kentucky Derby bonus. But to start off, I found some prop bets for the draft that we can discuss. And what we'll do is I'll just go through it here. Jacksonville Jaguars to kick off the draft with the first pick. They will be selecting Trevor Lawrence, quarterback from Clemson. If you're just listening to us and you don't really know sports and you're wondering, like, how do you know that that's locked in? I mean, it's been locked in since the kid was in high school. Trevor Lawrence is minus 100,000 odds. So basically, you would have to put $100,000 on Trevor Lawrence to get picked first to make $100. And honestly, it wouldn't even be a bad bet if you did that. You'd get your money back.
Yeah, I think it's honestly one of those rare times it's free money.
Yep.
So you might want to wait till tomorrow just in case anything freaky happens. If you happen to be in the Las Vegas area, they actually closed down their betting for the NFL draft at 5 p.m. on Wednesday. Other books, I'm sure anyone you guys would get on, they'll have it available until their draft. But maybe wait till tomorrow. Make sure he doesn't, you know, get hit by a car or anything tonight.
Yeah.
But you might as well put your whole bankroll on it because it's free money.
It's a
free. If we're wrong, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, don't come back to us, but it's a free $100. Yeah,
this is not financial advice.
This is entertainment purposes only. Absolutely. But no, this is absolutely a lock-in. We knew he was going to be the first overall pick not his last season, but the season before. They're like, okay, he's first overall, but he decided to stay another year in Clemson. Didn't work too well for him because he had gotten beat.
Yeah. By who?
The
IO.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Oh, yeah. And
Justin Fields.
Yes, sir. And so what I'm kind of led me into my little small tidbit about Trevor Lawrence being first overall pick. I understand it, but I also don't think he's the top three quarterbacks in this draft. I don't think he's in the top three. So
okay.
I have my own mock draft. Obviously, I'm going to throw him first for our little segment. Yeah. But we'll keep an eye on him. I don't think he's top three.
All right. So the New York Jets are second. And honestly, pretty much the same exact deal. They've pretty much already locked in that they're taking Zach Wilson, quarterback for BYU. His odds are minus 1,000. Same deal. You'd have to put $1,000 to make 100, and that's honestly pretty safe at this point. I don't personally understand it. I'm not a big fan of Zach Wilson, but the Jets seem to have fallen in love with him. So for the draft, for you watching at home, the first two picks, not very exciting. It's pretty much already set in stone. But the draft really starts with the third overall pick. San Francisco 49ers take the stage, and I'll give you guys the odds for the three options that they could choose from, and I'll see what you guys think. At the moment, this could change, of course, from now until then, but Mac Jones is currently at the top, minus 275. Trey Lance is plus 250, and Justin Fields is plus 350.
Yeah, so I think Kyle Shanahan has one of the worst poker faces ever. In the interview, he had said they weren't completely sure who they're going to take. They're looking because it's so close, isn't that? He's just trying to save his own ass by saying that. But he's obviously taking Mac Jones. There's no doubt about it. The way he's acting, he's just kind of trying to play it off. So when Mac Jones sucks, he's going to be like, oh, I did say it was a close race when Justin Fields and Trey Lance outplay the kid. So
yeah.
I think he does take Mac Jones. I think it's not going to work out in their favor.
I just can't buy into the hype. So for me, it's hard. I think Justin Fields is clearly the second or third best quarterback in this draft. I don't think Mac Jones is elite. So for me, it's hard to put him at that position. I know the media, the mock drafts, etc., have moved him into that position, and I hope I'm wrong about it. But for me, I can't help but go for Justin Fields. I got to do it. It's plus 350. I might just put a quarter unit on it. I'm not going to put my bankroll on it.
Yeah.
But I like him. I feel like he deserves that spot, and I'm going to go with him. So I'll go with Justin Fields at plus 350.
Yeah. I don't want to spend too much time on this, but I really do feel like there's been a few drafts now where you can look back. You can remember the draft where Aaron Rodgers fell super late in the draft. Now he's probably next to Brady. He's one of the best of all time. We can all agree on that.
Yeah.
There was a draft a few years ago where the Bears went Mitchell Trubisky over Patrick Mahomes, and they'll always be remembered for that. I feel like Justin Fields has potential to be Rodgers, Mahomes-esque as far as quarterbacks who did not get picked where they should have gotten picked at. I hope he goes third overall, but I do have to agree with Nate. I really think they're going Mac Jones on this one, and I don't know why. I think Justin Fields is clearly the second best quarterback. I know that they recently touched on that he has epilepsy and his stock's falling, but I've never seen that as an issue at Ohio State. Maybe I'm biased because I'm an Ohio State fan, but I really think he's number two to Trevor, and he's more athletic, possibly giving him the advantage in the NFL with the way the game's played today. So I'm excited about the third pick. I'm really interested to see how it goes. But I really think the draft starts at that third pick right there.
Yeah, I agree.
I think they're reaching there. They're looking for any reason to not like Justin Fields in this draft. He was featured on a season of, it was a QB1. It's a Netflix show. I don't think they have that season on Netflix currently, but he was on there. That was never even mentioned, and it was basically a documentary about his life.
All right, so I don't have it on our Google Docs, but I was thinking about something on the way over here. The fourth pick in the draft, the Atlanta Falcons run the clock, and there is talk of them trading, talk of them maybe drafting the tight end from Florida. What do you guys think? Do they stay at four and make a pick, or do they trade back?
Honestly, I think they might trade back because it's hard to take Kyle Pitts at that position, although he really should be fantastic in the NFL, but at that number four position, it's tough. They don't necessarily need to grab Justin Fields. I wish they would. I hope he's not there. But, right. You know, at that four position. So I think they might trade down. It seems like that might be in the favor for them, but it's hard to say. What do you think, Nate?
Yeah, Kyle Pitts is an absolute freak of nature. If you add him on the offense, without them trading Julio Jones, of course, which, I mean, he leads their franchise in catches and receiving yards, and I think he's second in touchdowns overall. He's... In my opinion, other than Megatron, Calvin Johnson, he is the best wide receiver in the game. And I know he's kind of been foreshadowed due to the Falcons' poor record lately. And if they were to trade him, I just think that could have been the worst mistake in franchise history because he's the GOAT.
Speaking of Julio, speaking of trade, speaking of the draft, the Browns could have had Julio Jones a few years back. Just never forget.
I don't even talk about
Always
that.
Remember, never forget.
They didn't get good at the draft until 2018, I believe, when they snagged up Denzel Ward and Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
Then they kind of figured it out. But yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah, no, I think the Falcons go ahead and do grab Kyle Pitts, even if they, I mean, because they'll probably trade Julio Jones. You're going to need another target there for Matt Ryan other than Calvin Ridley. You got Oscar Zacharias, I believe that's how you say his name, and then Russell Gage. I mean, they're a bunch of slot guys, but if you could have Julio, Calvin Ridley, and then Pitts at tight end, and then throw Russell Gage in that slot position. You got yourself an offense there.
Yeah, that's true.
And then Todd Gurley, though, he's pretty much done, I believe, in his career. So yeah. Maybe they find themselves a running back in the second round.
Sure.
All right, so last year's draft, there were four quarterbacks selected in the first round. We had Burrow, Tua, Herbert, and Love. How many quarterbacks go in round one this year? Over 4.5? -600, under 4.5, +350.
I think these odds are just so crazy. I mean, it's obvious. There are five extremely talented, solid quarterbacks in this draft. So they're going to go. There's going to be at least five. It's not even a question. We know we have Trevor Lawrence. We have Mac Jones, Justin Fields, Trey Lance, Zach Wilson. Even a team might fall in love with someone like Davis Mills from Stanford or Kyle Trask from Florida. It's hard to say. They might go at the end of the first round, one of those two. I don't know for sure, but I'm for sure taking over 4.5. I might even take over 5.5. The odds are +460. So I don't think that's out of the question, to be honest with you. But I think for sure five quarterbacks are going in the first round.
Yeah, and the kind of backpack on you. I even like Kellen Mond out of A&M. I mean, I think he's one of the more polished guys already. He's got all those starts under his belt, and he looked so good last year. He basically carried that whole entire program. So I like Kellen Mond too, but I don't know if this is they're trying to sway bettors away from this, but I've seen a lot of reports that, I mean, it's the silliest thing I've ever seen, but Justin Fields falls to the second round.
Jesus.
I'm
going to have to edit that out.
I'm just saying. I don't believe it whatsoever. I think they're all those reports. I've been seeing it all over ESPN and all those big name brands. So I've seen them saying, oh yeah, Justin Field could fall all the way. So are they, I mean, obviously it's the minus 600 bets, an easy money pick, but are they kind of trying to sway maybe the novice bettors' opinions on, hey, oh wait, if Justin Fields falls the second, I'll take that under all day. Sure. I'll get the money with it. But lo and behold, I just think, yeah. I'm going way over too.
It's hard to say, though. Yeah, it's hard to say with the NFL. You know, you don't know who's going to trade up, trade down. It's all speculation till it kicks off tomorrow. So hopefully it works out like we're saying, but you never know.
And going back to last year's draft, there was one running back who went in the first round, Edwards-Helaire to Kansas City. How many running backs go in the first round this year? We have over 1.5, minus 155. Under plus 170.
Yeah, so I think one goes. I think the other guy falls to the second round. And when I say that, I think Najee Harris gets scooped up late in the first round. I can't really peg on who, but I think Travis Etienne, the longtime running back for Clemson, I think he barely slips, but he's a super early second round pick. So I'm going to just go for the under, and a little shout out to our guy Trey Sermon. I personally think he maybe stepped out a year early. Maybe he would have gained a lot more. I mean, he's down there at what, the 12th ranked running back in the draft.
Yeah.
And he's probably the top three name that people usually know, him and Chuba Hubbard, of course. But I don't know. I think if Sermon would do a lot better if he stayed another year.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. I'm going to go with the under. I mean, there are three running backs that I think are really solid in this draft, and like you had said, I think Najee Harris will probably go in the first round, honestly. And then Travis Etienne will probably slip to the second round. And then I really like Javonte Williams. So that North Carolina running back, he's tough. He was a linebacker in high school. He averaged 16 tackles a game his junior year. He's also valedictorian of his class. So he's a smart kid. I like guys that have that dual threat because they can understand both sides of the ball. So I think he has a ton of potential. He'll probably go in the second round, but I'm going to go under. Plus 170 is too good of odds not to take it.
He's kind of like a reverse Miles Jack. Plays for Jacksonville now. UCLA Bruin guy. He was in college, he started as a linebacker, and I think he was like the second or third string running back, but I mean, he got carries like all throughout the season, and he was their number one linebacker.
Right.
It's kind of really cool dynamic. You got like an adult male right there.
For sure.
We had a big year for wide receivers last year in the draft. There was 37 drafted, 6 went in the first round. So how many wide receivers go in this year's draft? We have over 4.5, minus 250, under 4.5, plus 170.
Okay, so it's just for the first round, of course, 4.5. So obviously Jamar Chase is probably going to go maybe 6th to Miami. Devontae Smith is arguably the best receiver in the draft. Obviously, you hear a lot about his size. He's a little undersized, but obviously it's the heart in the game that really carries you to be a winner. So he's going to go, and Jaylen Waddle, he's been surging up these draft boards like throughout this whole offseason. Obviously, he was hurt, but my guy came in and with a broke leg, and he scored, what, 2 or 3 touchdowns in the national championship? So, I mean, he's got heart. So those guys are obviously going to go, and Rashad Bateman I think he's the most underrated player in this draft, even though he is projected the first round from Minnesota. He's got all that experience. I just think he's so talented. He has all the tools. He's NFL ready right now. He reminds me of a Justin Jefferson. And then I'm going to go a little more down on these wide receiver lists because overall I am going to take the under, but if it does get the 5, I think Kadarius Toney out of Florida gets scooped up in the first round as like he reminds me of a Percy Harvin. I don't like to compare colleges where he went, but overall I just think Kadarius Toney could sneak into that first round, but I am going to take the under of 4.5.
I think you said everything that needs to be said on that one. I do disagree with you. I think it can get to 5. We obviously know that there's at least those top 3 guys going. I think guys like you said, Rashad Bateman, another guy I like is Marshall from LSU. I think those LSU receivers are tough, so I definitely think there's potential he could slip in the late first round. For me, I know the odds are juicy, but I have to take the over 4.5 at minus 250.
Yeah, so I feel like every year the draft comes around, I feel like there's a prospect that kind of comes out of nowhere every year. Not to say this guy really came out of nowhere, but We already talked about him. Kyle Pitts, tight end from Florida. I think when we were in the last week of the season or when we were talking national title, I don't think any of us would have said a tight end from Florida is probably a top four pick. I think it just kind of came out of nowhere. I think there's always someone who's going to have a really nice pro day or just really killed at the combine. So he was kind of that guy this year. I feel like it's really rare for a tight end to go top five. I mean, it's hard for me to think of a tight end in the game that went top 10 that's like just absolutely stands out. So I don't know if the value there is there. But overall, I mean, he does look like a solid player. But for tight ends, basically it's just asking how many tight ends go in the first round this year. Over 1.5 is plus 300. Under 1.5 is minus 500. Is there any chance another tight end gets picked or is he it?
I think he's it. Yeah, you got some other guys up there. The kid from Penn State. Obviously, Penn State usually produces some decent tight ends. But
you want to take a shot at his name? Go for it.
Well, here we go. All right. Well, here I go.
What's his name?
I deserve this. Pat Freiermuth. I feel like I almost threw up. Freiermuth.
We'll say it, Tone.
You know what? No, you're on the spot, too. We all say it.
Freiermuth.
No, muff?
What?
Muff?
Would it be a free or muff?
Why are you saying muff? It's TH, like like Mike Tyson.
Well, the first time I did, but the second time I was.
You know what, AJ? You started this.
I'd say free or muth.
Oh, I like his.
Ooh,
the
I like
best.
That. That's under confident.
I have no idea if that's accurate.
Either way, I'm going to go with the under. I think Kyle Pitts is going to get drafted pretty high, and I do think Penn State and Notre Dame's tight ends are really solid. I mean, they're big guys. Notre Dame is 6'4", 240. Penn State's 6'5", 260. So those are big, juicy guys.
Yeah.
I think that they'll get picked, but I don't know. I'm going to go with that under.
Okay. So one thing I'll say is most drafts, they're pretty defensive heavy, but this year it's really leaning towards offense this year. So let's do a little bit of love for the defensive side of things. Total defensive players drafted in the first round. Over 13.5, minus 120. Under 13.5, also minus 120.
Yeah, you're right. It is loaded this year. It's interesting. For me, I got to go under. So I think this draft has a ton of quarterbacks that are solid, a lot of offensive linemen, and a lot of wide receivers that are, quite frankly, very solid prospects. So I think that number's a little skewed for the defense, but I have to take the under. So I'm going to go under 13.5 defensive players.
Yeah, I'm gonna jump on that too because when I'm looking at some of these guys out here, I see maybe 7 first rounders personally. Maybe I'm off. I see guys like Quiddy Pay and then Patrick Surtain, and you got the defensive tackle from Alabama, Barmore. Yeah, he's gonna go. Then I think the Browns maybe scoop up the cornerback from Northwestern, Greg Newsome. So I don't 13.5 is a wild number, especially with the offensive line talent out there. And then, like Tone was saying, with the quarterbacks, obviously you got receivers, you got a tight end who's going to go up there, and then potentially 2 to 3 running backs. I think it's an offensive heavy first round, but I think you start to see a lot of defense going on that second day of the draft, second and third round. You're going to see a lot of defensive guys go.
All right, so we all love football, the three of us. We all three have like our own favorite teams. So I'm kind of curious to know what direction we would all personally want our favorite teams to go in. Nate, obviously, you're a Vikings fan. I can see your shirt from here. They have the 14th overall pick. Tone, I know the Browns are your favorite team. They actually are 26th on the board this year. We're usually used to seeing the Browns in the top 5 to 10 picks. So you're going to have to stay up a little later than usual Thursday night. And my favorite team is the Broncos. They picked 9th overall. So, you know, I don't have to stay up too late myself. But, Nate, I'll throw it to you. You can start us off. What direction? Is there a target? Is there a position or a specific player you'd really like to see the Vikings go for?
There's two guys. So, obviously, the Vikings are in big need of an offensive lineman. As much of a Kirk Cousins hater I was when we first signed the guy, he comes in and he does play really good ball games. If he has time to go back there, he's going to make the reads, he's going to make the passes, he's going to make the plays. But we haven't had anybody to block for him. So the one guy I would really like is Elijah Vera Tucker out of USC because he started 6 games at tackle, 13 at a guard, I believe. So he's versatile on the offensive line, and we could really use a first-round talent on that offensive line to maybe, I don't know, generate some momentum in that offensive line, get Kirk Cousins protected. But also another guy, if we got Kwity Paye out of Michigan, he's an edge rusher.
Boo.
I know, yeah, the team up north. But, yeah, Kwity Paye, I just think right now he's not really polished for NFL right now. He's just all motor. He's just going to run. He's a speed rusher. He's going to go in. He's going to try to sack, but I don't think he's quite ready yet. Yeah, so we obviously, along with Danielle Hunter, and if we got Kwity Paye, we got guys like Eric Kendricks, Anthony Barr, and our defensive backs, we got young Cam Dantzler, who's been, I mean, he's ready. And then we just signed Patrick Peterson, who just announced he's going to wear the number 7 out there, just like his LSU days. He's a veteran guy who can get this team playing. And we got like Mike Hughes, veteran Harrison Smith. Unfortunately, we lost Anthony Harris, but he only really had that one good year. But yeah, either Kwity Paye or Elijah Vera Tucker would be absolutely awesome for our squad.
Yeah, I feel like those are solid picks. I think the Browns, I would like to get them some defensive players. So I think their offense is fantastic. We have a great line, fantastic backfield. Our wide receivers are elite. We have a good team on offense. So our defense is pretty solid as well. I would like to get an edge rusher or a linebacker. I do know that we have Myles Garrett, obviously, and we also now newly acquired Jadeveon Clowney. So that's awesome as well. But I think we could get a couple young guys in there just to make sure they're learning from them and they'll be plugged in there. And you know, I think it's a good substitute package. So I would either like the edge rusher from Miami. He's 6'7", 265 pounds, Gregory Rasu. Or I would like Davis from Kentucky, 6'4", 234. Just a solid, hard-nosed football player. Either one of those guys would make me happy. But I think we need to make some improvements on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would just chime in real quick. I think along with those would be awesome picks. If you guys got like a good slot corner to go along with Greedy Williams and Denzel Ward, you can get, I think, Greg Newsome the second from Northwestern would be a perfect fit. But overall, I don't think any of those would be a bad pick because the offense is obviously going to be mowing. You got those two running backs, Chubb and Hunt, and then you got Odell coming back with Juice and Rashad Higgins. Austin Hooper, they're loaded on the offensive side, obviously Baker. So yeah, that's my little chime in on the Browns. But what do you think for that you got a top 10 pick there, AJ?
Yeah, I got a top 10 pick. So before today really kicked off, when I was making my notes here, we talked about Fields possibly dropping if San Francisco doesn't grab him. He's gonna potentially slide down the draft tonight or tomorrow night. That's who I would really like to see Denver get originally. Get the quarterback from Ohio State, Justin Fields. I feel like he has potential to be a Pro Bowl caliber quarterback. He's consistent to Trevor Lawrence. I don't understand the drop, but we did trade for Teddy Bridgewater earlier today, so I feel like that's going to kind of take us out of the running for a quarterback. I would like to see us either trade back, or if we don't trade, Micah Parsons, linebacker from Penn State. He's probably the top-rated defensive player in the draft this year. So we need defense pretty bad. I say go grab the best defensive player in the draft.
I like that.
Yeah, what do you think about that Teddy Bridgewater trade?
I don't like it because I really want Fields.
What happened to Drew Locke?
I don't know.
He's not the guy?
I don't know. Some days he's really good, and some days he's really shitty. So
I like his cockiness.
Yeah, he's the most swaggy quarterback in the NFL, but unfortunately he doesn't really win games. But he is swaggy. I do like his vibe, but there's just too many targets surrounding him to not be performing. So if we could get a stud like Justin Fields in there, I really think we could be at the next level. If not, Parsons would be a really good fit on the defensive side. So
yeah, Parsons, I'm fine with that. Really tough.
Yeah. I'm fine with it. It feels like a second option, but that's cool. No big deal. So there's always late-day gems, early busts. I wanted to run that by you real quick before we go any further. Are there any prospects that you guys think are going to be later in the draft that could be Pro Bowl caliber? Are there any early picks that you guys think are going to just be absolute busts?
Yeah, so I like to look at running backs in this position because as we've seen before, you don't have to get a running back in the first round or two, and you can have some really good results. So we've seen guys like Alvin Kamara and even, you know, guys that, of the likes like that going in later rounds, and they just make sense for the offense. So they have a good offensive line, and they're able to produce. So for me, I like Javion Hawkins out of Louisville. If I'm being real serious.
Louisville.
He's 5'8", 185 pounds, but he averaged 6 yards a carry. He's explosive, has great versatility. He can catch passes, so it makes him a dual threat. I think he's going to be a later round prospect, but he has a ton of potential. So I would take him at that kind of stud sleeper position.
Okay.
Okay, I'm kind of focusing on the same position, different guy, though. So I love late round running backs. They always have something to prove. They're always going to go out there with a chip on their shoulder. And I've watched this guy have a 400-yard rushing game last season. And he's from not too far away from where we are. He plays for Buffalo. It's Jarrett Patterson. My guy's an absolute bowling ball out there. He reminds me of a thicker Darren Sproles. He can make the catches out of the backfield. I think he would be a really good addition to if whoever has like a really good running back at the moment or wherever he kind of progresses in his career. I think he would be like a perfect Michael Turner, Darren Sproles kind of like. I don't think he will make it quite as like the number one guy. He's like he gets all the touches, all the starts. I think he would be like a Jamal Williams to a Aaron Jones.
That makes sense too, because nowadays in the NFL, it's a lot of dual packages. So I think that makes a ton of sense. He's a nice secondary, and you know maybe they become 1A and 1B. So I really like that.
Kind of like a Alvin Kamara, Mark Ingram.
Sure.
As well. Even Mark Ingram and J.K. Dobbins. I think all those are really good examples, like Tone was saying. Yeah, this is a dual threat league. I thought it was going to turn into like a dual threat tight end league at the start of the 2010s, but I don't know. It kind of ended up, it doesn't matter who you're really, like, your starting running back is right now, other than Alvin Kamara at this point right now, and Derrick Henry, of course, and Dalvin Cook.
What about the Browns?
I think they're the perfect example. I mean, the dual threat is just unbelievable when you got Kareem Hunt backing up Nick Chubb. Nick Chubb's arguably the best running back in the game.
That's what
right
I was trying to say is I think it does matter if you have someone like Nick Chubb.
Oh, and yeah.
We have Kareem Hunt to back him up. I mean, it's, yeah. So I get what you're saying.
Yeah. Sure. It's a dual thing because, you could throw Kareem Hunt in the slot.
Right.
And then, boom, he's going to cut one in, and you're not going to tackle him when he's on the inside.
Definitely. So we have the contrary of that. Who do we think are going to be some bust?
Ooh. Oh, I started out pretty much the start of the episode with this. I think Trevor Lawrence is the biggest bust in the NFL.
Wow.
I think the whole time, even last year, I always thought of him as Ryan Leaf. Trevor Lawrence is going to be the next Ryan Leaf. You can quote me. You can put me on whatever if he carries Jacksonville to any kind of anything. The only thing I like about Trevor Lawrence is that Gardner Minshew is going to back him up and kind of be his mentor, because Gardner Minshew is nothing but work, 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 and Trevor Lawrence is nothing but fame, fame, fame. So I think that the two kind of coincide. The only way Trevor Lawrence is good is that Gardner Minshew is backing him up, and other than that, I just think he's the biggest bust. I also don't like Mac Jones, like we talked about. Not a huge fan of Travis Etienne. I think he's a fantastic college running back.
Yeah, so my guy is Mac Jones. I'm not a Mac Jones guy. I think he had an elite offensive line. He had two first round, you know, they're going to go in the first round, wide receivers. One of those was a Heisman guy. I just think he's a system guy. I don't have a lot of confidence in him. I think it's ridiculous that the 49ers would trade up to get him. So I could eat my words, you know, nothing's guaranteed. But if I had to pick one, I'm going to go with Mac Jones at this position, you know, compared to what he's going to get drafted at. So,
all right, so we're going to kind of segue. Nate's kind of segueing me perfectly here. We're going to do a little Trevor Lawrence talk since you kind of started this off. So Trevor Lawrence, for those, you all know who he is, but he's been a lock for the top spot basically since he came to Clemson. Top prospect out of high school, balled out, won the national title as a freshman. He's got the looks, the size, the mechanics, squeaky off-field. He was pretty monumental with pushing NCAA to come back from COVID. Did his thing in the locker room as far as pushing civil rights issues. So he's a good locker room guy, good guy on the field itself. And I think quarterbacks seem to be more under pressure than ever now because of people like Patrick Mahomes winning Super Bowls and MVPs in their second year. He's bringing a lot of hype, but he's bringing a lot of expectations with him. He's joining Urban Meyer as a first-time head coach. He's going to be playing in the AFC South, which isn't the hardest division in football. You got the Titans, the Colts, the Texans. It's a pretty tough division, but I don't think it's the toughest division out there.
I think it's the most average to good division because you got all those teams. Obviously, the Texans have a lot of issues right now. You don't know who your starting quarterback is going to be. I'm not going to discuss anything further. Obviously, the Titans have showed out with Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill. Obviously, A.J. Brown is a freak of nature, so Titans are always sniffing for it. But Jacksonville, I don't see the targets for Trevor Lawrence in his first year, of course, maybe the second, because all I see out there is you got Chris Conley. I think they still have him. DJ Shark is their number one guy. Tyler Eifert's coming towards the end of his career. So I just don't see. And, oh, there was a really good coming from Robinson, the running back. He showed out last year. If you're a DraftKings player, he was always on the top kind of price pay because he was getting the touches, he was getting the catches, he was scoring the touchdowns. But I just don't see the weapons for Trevor Lawrence. So I don't know. I think they still finished last in the division.
Well, what, you take them over under 6.5?
Wins?
Yep.
Oh, I think they go 6-10. I'm going under.
Okay, I'll go over. So I think there's one more game added on this year, so it's kind of like 5.5, if you would, or maybe just meet in the middle.
I didn't even think about that. Oh, 6-11.
So, yeah, so I disagree. I think they're going to go over. Just because we have one extra game this year, you know, that 6.5 is almost like 6 if you're thinking about how last year would have went. So I will take that over number. I just, despite what you said, I think they have the weapons, so they have some really good guys on offense. They have some solid. James Robinson was fantastic. Some solid receivers. We'll see what they do in the draft, but I think their defense is tough too. So I don't think they're going to be a great team, but I will take them over 6.5.
Yeah, that's what Vegas has Jacksonville at the moment. 6.5 for the over-under. And, you know, I think for the next week or so, we're going to continue doing just all the over-unders for the next few weeks, for all the 32 NFL teams. So, for anyone who enjoys football and prefers listening to us talk football, we'll be locked into football for the next couple weeks to follow.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. So I have two more prop bets here. First one we're going to do is Offensive Rookie of the Year prediction. Trevor Lawrence +250, Justin Fields +333, Zach Wilson +600, Trey Lance +800, Kyle Pitts +900, and then lastly I have Ja'Marr Chase +1100.
Okay, yeah, so all these kind of lines, they do make sense to me. I think they did a good job of putting them out, mainly because I feel like the starting quarterbacks that are up there in the odds list are going to get playing time. They're probably going to start relatively maybe early season, if not opening day. But I'm going to go a little down the list, and I think Ja'Marr Chase is going to have a breakout year. If he ends up going to the Dolphins, you have Ja'Marr Chase with Devontae Parker on the other side, and then Will Fuller, who they just got in the slot. And Will Fuller is arguably the top 5 fastest wide receivers in the game right now. And so you got those guys. Then you got Mike Gesicki at the tight end. It's a big thing with Tua. It's all about Tua. So I love the odds that Ja'Marr Chase has, but I'm going to play a little more safe. And I think Kyle Pitts ends up getting the Offensive Rookie of the Year because he is the most NFL-ready player in the draft right now. Obviously, they don't draft based on NFL-ready, because if they did, he would be number one. They draft off NFL needs or their team needs. So I think Kyle Pitts, he's going to get so many targets. He's gonna light it up this year. He's probably going to be, I hate to say it, but probably the best tight end to ever play the game.
I think that might be a slight reach, but I do agree with you that he's going to be really good this year. So I think he'll be a good tight end. I'll agree with you with that. I'll take +900. Those are really good odds, so it's hard to not take that. I would think if Trevor Lawrence can have a winning season, just because he's so hyped up, he'll obviously win it. But if he doesn't, then it might be a guy like Kyle Pitts or Ja'Marr Chase. So I'll go with Kyle Pitts just to agree with you on that one. I like it. Just for like a quarter of a unit.
Okay. All right, so obviously the next one we have is Defense Rookie of the Year prediction. I'm going to do my best to hit the pronunciations on all of these names, so apologies in advance just in case. First off, we have Micah Parsons, plus 500. Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, plus 600. Next, we have Quiddy Pay, plus 800. Zaven Collins, plus 900. Aziz Ojulari, plus 1,000. And rounding that out, we have Patrick Surtain, plus 1,100.
I think you killed the pronunciations.
I think I came pretty damn close.
Good job, my guy.
You definitely... Yeah, we used it. I never thought we would use it. We used it. That was an applause if you guys... It's nothing different. But no, I think Patrick Surtain is the best defensive player in this draft right now. It would be cool to see him play in that Miami Dolphins uniform like his pops. But I like Patrick Surtain. I like the experience. I like the build. I think he's a perfect corner for today's day and age. I'm going to go up and take him, was it plus 1,000 or 1,100?
1,100.
Yeah, oh yeah, I'm all over that. I love Patrick Surtain. If he just finds the right mold, right fit on the team where they will let him do what he's best at, I think Patrick Surtain, the second, obviously.
I got to go with Parsons. I mean, I just think linebackers at that position, you can come in and make an immediate impact on the league. So if he is as tough as he seemed to be at Penn State, there's no way he's not going to win that. So I will take Parsons at plus 500.
All right, so to round off our draft talk for this episode, we're going to do a little top 15 mock draft. We are going to rotate between the three of us, picking for who we think the teams are going to pick tomorrow night. So as mentioned, Jacksonville Jaguars are first, and Nate, you are first on the clock.
That sounded great. Oh, I feel like I'm a real guy.
It's official.
Mel Kiper.
Hey, Todd McShay, one of the guys. But no, so obviously I think I have, or obviously we discussed the odds, I have the easiest pick in the draft. So I am with the first overall pick in the Look Changers mock draft ever. I am going to take Trevor Lawrence out of Clemson, quarterback.
I'm going to take Zach Wilson just because I want to keep it realistic to what it will be.
All right. That was the New York Jets.
Yep.
Third pick, San Francisco 49ers. Tone, hit it real quick for me. I love that. San Francisco 49ers are taking Mac Jones.
Yeah, I mean, I think we pretty much got out of the bullshit out of the way. We know it's going to happen.
Now it's the start of the draft. Go ahead, Tone, one more time.
It's the start.
There we go.
It's just so satisfying. But, so I think I mentioned earlier in the show, I am going to take fourth overall, not Justin Fields. I'm going to take Kyle Pitts, tight end, out of Florida to be an extra weapon for one of, who knows, maybe Matt Ryan's last year in the league. So I'm going to take Kyle Pitts out of Florida, tight end.
I like that. I think that could definitely happen. But I'm going to go ahead and I will take the fifth pick for the Cincinnati Bengals. I will take Ja'Marr Chase.
Oh.
I do think that the Bengals need to make a couple corrections on their offensive line, but I think that they're going to be able to figure out free agency, etc. So they're going to give Joe Burrow another fantastic weapon to go with T. Higgins, etc. I will take Ja'Marr Chase at number 5.
Yeah, no more A.J. Green. What a perfect fill-in. Good pick.
Okay. Wow, that really puts me... I'm at 6 with the Miami Dolphins, and I fully expected you to take Sewell from Oregon to protect Joe Burrow. And I was actually going to go ahead and go Chase on that one. Great pick. Miami Dolphins. Let's see.
I think the guy you want to fall there maybe falls there.
Wide receiver, edge. Do they want to go quarterback? They got Tua.
I don't think they're going to dismissed Tua anytime soon because they dismissed Ryan Fitzpatrick, who played way better than him last year. But I think it's exactly who you're thinking. I mean, Ja'Marr Chase, but who's really the best wide receiver in this draft?
You know what? I'm gonna go ahead and I'm gonna go wide receiver as well. Don't know if it's who you're talking about, but I'm going Jalen Waddle with the next pick.
Okay.
Wow. I love it. Yeah, I think that makes my pick extremely easy because I have Detroit Lions, and I think they just acquired Jared Goff. A lot of people are just kind of dumbfounded on how that happened. Stafford going to the Rams, going to a way better team. But I think they do whatever they can to make Jared Goff happy, because he wasn't happy when they traded him. Who wants to go to Detroit? So I think they give him Devontae Smith, who, in my opinion, obviously other than Ja'Marr Chase, which a lot of people, yeah, they're on this bandwagon because LSU receivers do produce Landry, Beckham Jr., Justin Jefferson. So I think Devontae Smith goes to the Lions, and they give Goff someone to throw to because they are struggling. They have Galladay, Marvin Jones Jr., but if they had someone like Devontae Smith, I think it'd be electric.
Oh, man, I feel like you made a huge mistake as a Detroit Lions GM, but
not the first
I would never make this pick right for the Panthers, but I'm going to have to just because you passed up on it. This is a guy who could be your tackle for the next decade. Penei Sewell from Oregon, he's the real deal. So you have to take him for the Detroit Lions. They need that protection. If you don't take them, I would have taken Justin Fields for the Panthers, but we know what happened earlier, you know, with Teddy Bridgewater. I think that the Panthers could benefit from Fields, but now I don't think they'll go that route. But if you're going to leave Sewell to me, I got to take that guy.
Yeah, that's a great pick. I think he's arguably the best player in this entire draft. So you're getting the possibly the best player in the draft with the 8th pick overall. It's a huge need. Everyone needs left tackle to protect your blind side. Great pick. Number 9, Denver Broncos, my team. We already talked about it. I know Bridgewater was traded to Denver, but I'm locking in Justin Fields. Give it to me. Justin Fields with the 9th pick.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah, hey, that's the shocker of the draft. I mean, if you nailed that, that'd be awesome. I just kind of backpack on what you guys were saying. I also agree. I think Penei Sewell is the second best player in this NFL draft this year. But I just feel like the needs that the Lions had, it wasn't starting at the offensive line. I think they did just fine protecting Matthew Stafford last year. I just didn't think he had the weapons nor the defense. So obviously they could probably sneak out there and get like a good defensive back or even an edge rusher if they can sneak up and snag Quiddy Pay before anyone even thinks to, because I think Pay has the most potential to be the best player in that draft, but not yet. So do you want to win now, or do you want to, with that whole trade with Jared Goff, it just seems like they're not trying to win right now, though. So I think Quiddy Pay could sneak up there, but I have the Dallas Cowboys at the 10th overall pick, and I think between this or the Trevor Lawrence pick, this is the easiest pick for me. I think they take Patrick Surtain II. I think he is exactly what this team needs. They've been drafting cornerbacks who've been bust for long enough. I think this guy is the winner. Dak Prescott hopefully comes back healthy. Prayers to him. You got Ezekiel Elliott, who a lot of people are like downgrading now. And then you got offensive weapons like Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb, young guy coming up. I think Patrick Surtain is the perfect fit for the Dallas Cowboys team.
Okay, I like that. I think for me, it's hard not to take this guy. He's really tough. At this position, if he falls to them, I think you got to go ahead and take Micah Parsons. He's really a stud. I think he's going to be a really good linebacker. If the Giants can get him to add to their defense, I think that's a blessing. So if he's there, I will go ahead and take Parsons.
All right, so that's going to put the Philadelphia Eagles on the clock with the 12th pick. I'm looking at two guys for this pick. They really need a corner. They really need a wide receiver. Surtain just went. That's a bummer because that was my lock. I really like J.C. Horn from South Carolina. Really like Greg Newsome II from Northwestern. I think it's a little bit too high for Newsome here. Wide receivers, I really like Bateman from Minnesota. I know we kind of talked on him briefly. I feel like this might be a little bit too early for Bateman to go in the draft, though. So I'm going to go ahead and take J.C. Horn from South Carolina.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's a non-bust, easy pick. He's going to go out there. He's going to do exactly what he does. And with, I think this is going to be my last pick on the mock draft, so press the button. So I have the the Chargers. Where are they? Los Angeles?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Los Angeles Chargers. Obviously, Justin Herbert just won the Rookie of the Year, I believe, right? He snagged it over Justin Jefferson.
I was going to make a proposal to you just out of respect.
Ooh. Oh,
a
little
trade? Do you want me to take the Chargers, you take the Vikings? Because that's my next pick. I know that's your guys.
Absolutely.
I like that.
Okay.
So I'll trade.
I think the Chargers got to get someone to protect their quarterback. I mean, he's their future. He's really showing a lot of promise. So I think they're going to go with Christian Dorsal from Virginia Tech.
Hey, shout out to D-Say.
Yep, shout out D-Say. I think he's a stud. He's big. He's versatile. And I think that's a good pick for them.
Yeah, it's crazy how close we were. I would have taken a Rashawn Slater from Northwestern. But
I didn't realize he was there still. Yep.
Yeah.
Oh.
Pick, so. This probably was.
Either way, take one of those guys.
This reminds me of last year's draft when the Eagles passed on Justin Jefferson, and they still took a receiver, Jalen Reagor.
Yeah.
They took Reagor, and I saw a video, it was a couple days ago, that the Vikings literally laughed at the Eagles organization when they did that, and Mike Zimmer's geeking, he's like geeking out laughing, he goes, yeah, we're taking Jefferson. And so obviously, he broke Randy Moss records in his rookie season, and this guy is an absolute stud. But I kind of chimed in on my Vikings pick earlier in the episode, so either in between, I have to make a pick now. So I'm going to take Elijah Vera Tucker out of USC. I just love that we can either throw him at the guard or tackle, whatever we need right now. He's going to be so right now ready. I would take Quiddy Pay, but I just think he's so much more motor than he is ready, if that makes sense. Like, he's going in, he's a speed rusher, he's like the kid from, or Frank Clark from Michigan. Like, he wasn't so good to start the season, he was great in college, but now he's one of the best right now. So I think Quiddy Pay has the potential, but I think the Vikings are looking to win right now. So I'm taking Elijah Vera Tucker with the Vikings 14th pick.
Nice. It's cool because the two people that we talked about earlier in the conversation, who we wanted our teams to pick, that's who we ended up getting for our top 15 mocks.
Isn't that perfect?
Very cool. That's going to take us to the last of our Luck Changers top 15 mock draft this year. 15, the New England Patriots are on the clock. I know that they're in need of a quarterback. I guess if I'm Bill, I'm hoping that one of those top three guys, as far as Jones, Fields, I'd like to see one of those two fall to me. But we already have those two going, so I'm going to lock in Trey Lance, quarterback from North Dakota State, to round out the top 15 and to fill a pretty big need for the Patriots.
Yeah, I feel like if they were to draft Trey Lance, they made a ton of acquisitions in the offseason. They're paying their money out. They were kind of ashamed of themselves seeing Tom Brady go and win that Super Bowl 1 year out. I love that pick. I don't know. We might be kind of pushing him low, though. Mm-hmm. I think if Trey Lance is at 15, it's an absolute steal for New England. So that's a perfect pick. I would love to see him. He's obviously, we've only seen one other quarterback out of North Dakota State or North Dakota. I don't know if it's state or not, but Carson Wentz, obviously. Mm-hmm. He's still yet to be determined as an NFL starter. Obviously, he seemed like immediately he was going to be the guy, but ever since they got rid of the Eagles organization, got rid of Carson Wentz and went with Jalen Hurts. So I love the Trey Lance.
All right, so that was fun. That was our little top 15 mock draft. Hopefully next year we'll get out ahead of it and we'll just do a full first round mock draft. Something to think about. But that's going to wrap up the draft talk. But as a bonus, like we said, do you guys know what this Saturday is?
Is one of the biggest events, I believe, in sports betting history.
Yeah, I think we're having a special party for a special lady.
Yeah, we're having a, it is the Kentucky Derby, but also, shout out to my wife. Happy 30th to the wife, Alexis.
Shout out, Lex.
Little shout out, too. We're not best friends, but you've always been super cool, and I'm excited. Unfortunately, you already know. But, no, I mean, Alexis, you're cool as the F word.
Cool as F word and getting old.
Oh no.
You know what? On air.
You need to leave.
Gonna be 30.
Love you, Lex. Don't listen to this slander. It only gets better. We're like fine wine.
Yeah, definitely. So shout out to Lex. But yeah, to wrap up the show, Saturday is Kentucky Derby. Saturday, May 1st. It's going to be the 147th running of the Kentucky Derby. As always, it's at the Churchill Downs. It's one of the biggest sports betting events of the year. Definitely the biggest. It's the Super Bowl of racing, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, you got the Daytona, but the Kentucky Derby is way better. So.
Oh, it's easy, yes.
And it's definitely up there as far as bucket list events go.
Yeah, we kind of discussed it on one of our episodes. I think maybe two or three episodes ago, AJ had asked us what's the major event, or if you had one event you wanted to really go see, what would it be out of all sporting events? And I think we all dabbled kind of into the Cup Kentucky Derby, mm-hmm. which obviously the Luck Changers will find themselves there one year.
Oh, yeah.
So just keep an eye out. But no, this arguably the number one betting event ever, because it coincides. When people think Kentucky Derby, they think, oh, where you're going to bet.
Yep.
You're going to bet on a horse. And all the odds, all the things is kind of, for novice gamblers, a little intimidating. But novice gamblers are going to gamble on it. That's the thing. It's the Kentucky Derby. It once a year. And I agree with what AJ said. It is the Super Bowl of racing.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's 20 horses to choose from. And regardless of who you choose, if you were to select the correct horse, you're making a lot of money. Because with 20 options, you're getting plus odds no matter who you take. Even if you take the top, the most favorite horse to win, it's still plus 270. So I think it's something fun to do. Put $5 to $10 aside, throw $5 to $10 on it. And if you hit, I mean, you have a really good chance at making a lot of money. And the race itself, it's only like, what, two, three, not even.
It's, oh, yeah.
It's just quick. Like two and a half minutes, something like
that.
Yeah. Very fast.
It's quick. So make sure you're watching. It happens quick. I'm going to give you guys the top four horses to choose from. And I, on our doc, I put on the final 18. You guys can pick whatever you want. If you want a 18, pick your horse and give us your odds. But just to round out the top four, we have Essential Quality, number one, plus 275. Rock Your World, plus 450. Known Agenda is plus 800. And round out the top four, we have Hot Rod Charlie at plus 800. What are you guys thinking?
So I'm going to sneak right outside the top four. I'm going to go with Highly Motivated at plus 1,000. I dig the cause. I love it, the idea behind it. I think it's a tough horse. So I will go with Highly Motivated for plus 1,000.
Okay, so I'm going to sneak a little bit further outside. And I'm just doing this because just like purely respect and just appreciation. I am going to go with Bourbonic. He's plus 4,000. I only do that because... little shout out, this is the first black American-born jockey since 2013 to participate in the Kentucky Derby. And I just think it would be such a good, I don't know, story, just a good feeling if he were to go out at a plus 4,000 odds to go out and win. And his name is Kendrick, holy crap, Kendrick Carmucci. I'm sorry if I mispronounced his last name. But
yeah, it sounds right to me.
Yeah, Kendrick Carmucci at plus 4,000. I am rooting for him, even if I don't end up putting money on it. I hope he ends up winning. It's just such a good, I mean, just a good story, good time in history. So shout out to my guy Kendrick Carmucci.
Yeah, shout out to Kendrick. I'm going to be pretty boring. I'm going to stay in the top four. I just really dig the name. I'm going with Hot Rod Charlie, plus 800.
I like it.
And again, like I said, he's a top four favorite, but even if it hits, you're making good money, plus 800 odds. So, again, it's a quick race. It's in good fun. I highly recommend everyone drop a unit or two on there and have some fun with it.
Definitely.
Yeah, I think we all got solid picks. We're 3 out of 20, so one of us are destined to win.
For sure.
But, yeah, with all that being said, I think that just about wraps up our episode. Tone, you got anything?
I do not.
AJ.
Shout out Lex. Happy birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday. I have nothing, but with that being said, I want to shout out our Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. All of those are at Luck Changers Podcast. Go ahead and check us out. We post weekly. You'll know when to check out our episodes. But if you don't have social media, you know how else to check out our episodes. If you subscribe to anywhere you listen to your podcast, you can subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, all those good stuff. You would follow us on Spotify. So it's the same thing. Whatever you have, if you're an Android user, you know you have Spotify, go ahead and follow us. It doesn't cost a penny. All it does is kind of give you notifications when we post, what's next on your playlist, even if you subscribe anywhere. It doesn't cost you a penny. Just show a little love. So, we are Luck Changers. Wherever you listen to your podcast, we have ourselves an email. We are luckchangerspodcast@gmail.com. Go ahead and send us an email if we didn't cover something you're looking for. If you're looking for basically some, if there's a game on that night and you don't quite feel comfortable, if you send us an email, we will respond right away. We are looking forward to it. We have so much good content coming in the future. Just stay tuned. If you're still listening right now, we love you guys. Thank you so much for all the support. I appreciate it. We appreciate it as a team. And me, I am your host, Nate, and your host, Tone, our co-host, Tone, with our moderator, AJ. We are the Luck Changers, and we are out.
Peace. Adios.
We're out of
here. Peace.
Has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.